Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us September 14th. I hope you're having a great week. All around us here at the church and my house is the changing into the season of fall. It is sure beautiful. We got the TV on with all the football games. That always makes us think of fall. But on top of that, the crops all around our house and the church are turning that color where you know harvest is just right around the corner. And you can start to see the trucks and the farmers getting kind of ready for some things. And it's the temperature is enough where you beautiful enough where you can sit outside in an evening. And it's just, this is pretty. And so I hope you're enjoying this season and all that it is. A few announcements as we begin. One is we have two retreats coming up here in October. The first weekend is our women's retreat out at Covenant Cedars. And then our men's retreat is the third weekend in October. And my wife and I have already signed up for each of those. And we're looking forward to them. And I hope you'll be able to join us. Those are really good times. You can just go right to the Cedars website and sign up and meet us there. We also have an inquirer's night. If you're interested in learning more about the church, we want to get to know more about you as well. And you can come out. Carrie and I are going to open up our house for some desserts and coffee and a chance to get to know one another and then talk about the church. And for those who are even interested in joining the church officially and becoming members of the church, we'll have information about that there as well. That's going to be Sunday, October 5th at 6 p.m. And again, it's over at our house. And so please give us a call, shoot us a text, let us know that you're coming so we have enough space provided. But we're looking forward to that. And so that's awesome. Good stuff coming up. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22 is what we're going to look at today, verses 1 to 14, as we continue on in our sermon series here on the names of God. And learning more about who he is and his nature and character and what he wants to do in our lives. And so today's name for God that we're going to look at is Jehovah Jireh. And it comes within Genesis 22. It's a great chapter here, a challenging one, so important one. It says this, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he replied. And God said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as an offering on the mountain that I will show you.' Early the next morning, Abraham got up, he loaded his donkey, he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw that place in a distance. And he said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while me and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up, and he said, 'Dad, father,' and Abraham replied, 'Yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the offering.' And so the two of them went on together. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering on the burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.' And to this day it is said, 'On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided.'" Now, before I get into the sermon here, would you do something with me? If you're just watching from home, or maybe you're driving in your car and you're just listening to this, but would you, if you know the first verse of Seek Ye First, that simple little chorus, would you sing it with me? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a chapter we got to look at this morning, Genesis 22, and that story of Abraham and Isaac. You know, in your life, you have to put God first. In and above everything else in your life, God has to be first. You have to trust God and that he is for you and that he loves you and that he is over you and that he is sovereign and that he's got a plan and that he's going to look after you and that his way is always best. He's got to be number one. Even if you can't see the plan yet, even if God asks you to let go of something or to trust him, you have to have faith and obey God, knowing that he is for you and not against you, and that he is working in your life and situation for his purposes and your good. Sometimes he's even working in our life to reveal himself to somebody else. It might not even be about you at all. Are you going to be okay with that? God's got to be number one, you see. It might mean sacrifice. It might mean a trial that you got to go through. But will you trust him for the greater things? Will you believe and cling to his promises in those times, which are eternal and able to save our life? I think about Abraham, what God asked him to do on that day in our chapter. How many of us could have done that? And how it must have confused him. For 25 years earlier, you know, God had told Abraham he was going to give him a son. And then finally, after 25 years, he gives him one. And then God said, from this son, I'm going to build this nation. I'm going to bless this world. And even one day is going to come a savior. And so I'm guessing at this point, Abraham's a little confused why God is asking for Isaac. But he chose to go with God every step. Because he's God. I mean, what we see in this chapter is that Abraham had finally gotten to a place in his life where even when he didn't understand, he still obeyed. Because God was number one. And God said so. God told him to go, and so he went. We read in our chapter that he went the very next morning. He feared God. He loved God. He had tried it his way long enough, and he knew that doesn't work. So this time, he's going to go with God. He trusted and obeyed God in whatever. He packed his bags. He went to the mountain. He and Isaac climbed up the hill, and he laid on that altar what he loved the very most. Could we have done it? But you know, sometimes in our life, the Lord does ask us to trust him with what we love the most. At times, we got to let go of some stuff that we have a hard time laying down, to put God first, to truly believe in Christ and the purposes for which he made us. Can we say, Lord, I fully trust in you. I want your will and not mine. I surrender my life. I place it all in your hands. You gave your life for me on a cross, and now I'm going to lay down my life trusting in you. All on the altar I lay, all that I am and all that I'm going to be. You are God. You're over it. You're number one. I'm going to hold nothing back here. Whatever happens, I'm going to seek you first. Because you can see what I can't see, and you know what I need more than anyone. You can see what's coming up and just around the bend, and I can't. And you got a big eternal plan here, and it's perfect. And I can only see a couple steps ahead of me, but you can see the whole thing. You can see my whole race and where you're taking me and where you're taking this world. So I'm going to let go, and I'm going to let you be God over me. I believe Genesis 22 is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. And it is in this story where we read the next name for God in our fall series. And that name is Jehovah Jireh. It is the name that Abraham gives to God on that mountain where he is going to lay his son, Jehovah Jireh. It is Hebrew for the Lord will provide. It literally means provision. It means my God sees not just what I need today, but what I will need tomorrow, and what my people down the line are going to need, and what this world is going to need. And so God doesn't just provide for me today, but he is always providing what we most need. And he's always providing today what he sees I'm going to need tomorrow. So the question is, will I trust his provision? Provision for my life. I have four things here that I want us to think about today from this chapter and all that it means that the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. Okay, so the first thing in this chapter that we can't miss is the connection to Jesus, because that is actually in this scripture, and it is the most important thing that God has provided for you today. He has given you his son. More than any job that he's maybe provided for you, or a wife or a friend or food on your table or all of your daily needs, it's great that we can see that God has also given us those things. But even if he never did, he is still Jehovah Jireh, because he has provided for you what you most needed, Jesus, the one who came to save you and me from our sins and give us eternal life. And how did he do that? He did it by taking our place, by dying our death, by taking the punishment for our sins, by fulfilling for us the righteous requirements of God on that cross. In short, Jesus got on the altar just like the ram in the thicket in our story got on it for Isaac. Look again at what's truly happening in our scripture. Look deeper at what the Lord actually provides for Abraham and why Abraham calls God Jehovah Jireh. It's because God provided a substitute for his son Isaac. Isaac didn't have to die because God stopped Abraham and provided a substitute to take Isaac's place on that altar. The ram died in the place of Isaac. Our scripture says, Abraham looked over and caught in the shrubs, the thorn bushes, the thicket was a ram. And so instead of Isaac, Abraham took the provided lamb and sacrificed him on the altar. And it says in verse 13, instead of his son, literally in the place of. And in verse 14, it says, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. This is absolutely astounding if we really read it. We can't miss this, and I pray that we don't. For this verse in Genesis is written 2,000 years before Christ is going to be coming to do for us on that mountain, okay? What he's going to do. This language is future tense, that on this mountain it will be provided. That is future language. The Lamb of God is going to come, God is saying, to take away the sins of the world. He's going to be our substitute. Caught in a crown of thorns, God's own son, to take our place on that altar. He would die so that we can live. 1 John 4:9 says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the mountain of the Lord that is mentioned here is Mount Moriah. We read that in Genesis here 22, verse 2. This is a specific place where we read that God told Abraham to go to take his son, his only son Isaac, and to lay him on that altar. It's a specific region and a specifically a Mount Moriah, that he was supposed to go. And it would have taken, and it says here in our scripture, a few days for Abraham to get there, to journey there with those servants and with Isaac. In Abraham's day, Mount Moriah was nothing special. It was not really even a mountain like we think of it. It was more of a large hill. But that place, that hill, would change over time. That hill would soon become a city. At first, it was a Canaanite city. And then years later, during the time of King David, it became the capital city of Israel, Jerusalem. Mount Moriah is the city of Jerusalem. The city was literally built on the exact hill that God told Abraham to go to 1,000 years earlier to lay down his son. This would be the place that Solomon would build the temple, and it would be the place that God would lay his son down for us all. The exact same hill where Jesus was nailed to a cross. What I'm trying to tell you in all this is that from the beginning, God already had a plan. He even had a place where he was going to provide for you the greatest thing that you would ever need, life and salvation and forgiveness and eternity with him. God brought Abraham to that place long before, where not Abraham's son, but God's son one day would take the ultimate sacrifice for you and me and carry wood up a hill and lay down his life. It's the same mountain, you guys. The same hill. How is that for provision? God did that for you. And listen again to what it says in verse 14. It says, so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. He didn't just call God that name. He called the place, because this is where it was going to take place. Genesis 22, written long before Jesus, but it points to Jesus, and it even promises what the Lord would provide there. You see, God isn't just looking around at what you might need today. He cares about what you most need. And long before you even knew it, he provided it. Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son, nor do any of us have to perish anymore in our sins, because the ram is provided in the thicket, the Savior with a crown of thorns upon his head. The Son of God came to take our place. Jesus is our substitute. Why I wanted to start with this is because I can get so focused in my life on today and the worries of the today and the temporary needs that I have and things that are happening or not happening, and I can become a complainer, I can become a worrier, just like the Israelites in the desert when they were complaining over water or manna or whatever. But the Lord has already delivered us. The Lord has already given us so much if we can just stop and think about it. He's already taken care of what you and I most need in life at a great cost to himself. He has already provided for me the greatest and most loving and sacrificial thing ever, so that I might forever live with him and know him and not have fear anymore. And so I should praise God today, whether I got plenty or want, because he is Jehovah Jireh, even if I don't get one more temporary thing from him. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him give us graciously all things? Our God blesses our life to more than we deserve into abundance. But don't just look at the temporary ways he has provided for you. Look first and most to the greatest gift that he gave, Jesus, that substitute, that atoning sacrifice, that love of God revealed on a cross for us. He died in our place that we might live. Second thing I wanted to point out is notice verse 1 here. The Bible says in this that it's clear that this is a test for Abraham. Genesis 21:2-1 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. This thing is a test for him. You know, when I think about the word test, the first thing that comes to my mind is school and taking tests. And you know, why do we take tests? To see what we've learned, to bring out what we know or we don't know, and to help teach us something, right? Well, God is trying to teach you and me every day. Maybe sometimes God puts us through a test. In the book of James, it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, for the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and it has to complete its work so that we become mature. So at times, God puts us to the test, because his ultimate purpose in our life is that we would know him more, and we would grow in Christ in his likeness, and to become more mature in our faith, and to experience deeper joy, and to shine brighter for him, that others might know him. And so my comfort is not God's biggest concern. My use to him is. So at times God puts us to the test because he's growing us. I think of how he sent the disciples out into the sea, knowing there was a storm coming, but he sent them anyway because it was a test. He's going to protect them. He's going to calm the sea. He knows that. But he wants to see what his disciples will do in that situation. Are they going to fear, or are they going to have faith and turn to him? It was a test. And in it, they came to learn a whole lot more about Jesus and how he even had power to calm the wind and the waves. I think about when Jesus asked his disciples to feed 5,000. Again, it was a test. He knew they didn't have the resources to feed 5,000 people, but he asked them anyway. Why? Because he wanted to see what they were going to do. Would they turn to him for the answers? Would they believe in him for the impossible? Would they have faith like that child who brought 2 fish and 5 loaves? In this, the Lord multiplied it, and they came to learn more about him, that it's not about what we have, but about what he has, and just our obedience to him. Maybe at times things happen in our life that God either initiates or he allows for the simple reason to grow us. He's watching over it the whole time, and he already has a plan in it, but it's a test. He wants to see what we're going to do. And he wants to grow us to be of greater use and to shine even brighter and live even deeper for him. It's a test. The next thing, though, I wanted to point out in our scripture is the altar. How God asked Abraham here in our story to lay down on that altar what Abraham loved the most. And sometimes he asks that of us. It says in verse 2, God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and place him on the altar as an offering to me. This verse is stressing just how important Isaac was to Abraham. God says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. God is being crystal clear with what he's asking Abraham to do and how he knows it's the most difficult thing for him. This is his son. God is not asking Abraham to give him a little piece of land or to put an extra $100 in the offering plate when he knows he's got thousands to fall back on. No, God is asking the big ask. He is asking Abraham to fully trust him with what he loves the most, to give that which he saw as his future, to give that. How bold of God, how outrageous. God, I'll give you anything but that. Abraham had waited and prayed for a child for 25 years. It's all he ever wanted. Why would God give what he was only going to take away? And how would God fulfill his promises to Abraham without Isaac? Must have asked these questions. Well, we learn more of the reason God asked him. In verse 12, it says that when Abraham obeys and they walk up the mountain and he takes his son Isaac and he binds him on that altar, then he gets out his knife, God stops him and he says Do not lay a hand on the boy. Don't let any harm come to him. For now I know that you truly fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. God is not evil. God is good. He is holy, but he is God, and God alone. Abraham's future was God, not Isaac. Even though God would work through Isaac, Isaac can't be Abraham's number one, what he puts his faith in. God has to be his number one, who we fear more than anything, who we trust and obey over everything. God is beginning a people through Abraham. He's laying the foundation. He's revealing more and more of who he is, and that he is holy, that he is merciful, but still to be feared, still to be obeyed, because he is God alone. He is faithful, and he's going to do it, but we're going to have to trust him with all that we are and everything that we got. We got to know that he loves us and that he keeps his promises and that he's going to do it, even if we can't understand it. We've got to obey. All on the altar we lay. You are God alone, and your way the only way. And only when we do this, only when, will we see God's plan in it and how it was never to harm us, but to give us hope in a future. Only by going all the way does Abraham see the heart and true nature of a God that he can fully trust. I love what it says in Hebrews 11:17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. What we learn in this is that Abraham had come to a point in his faith and his life with God to know that God can be trusted and God can do anything, even raise his son back to life. God can do whatever he wants. And so if he's asked this of me, he's got to have a plan in it, a way to save Isaac. And so he trusted God was good and would make a way. Notice even what Abraham says in Genesis 22:4-5. It says, on the third day, Abraham looked up, saw the place, Mount Moriah, in the distance, and he said to his servants, listen to this. He says to them, stay here with the donkey. We will go up, me and Isaac, and we'll worship, and then we will come back. He says, we will come back. Now that's faith in God. He may have known how God was going to do it, but he knew he and his son were coming back down that mountain together. Because the Lord who promised and began this good work was going to somehow see it through. Again, look at verse 7 and 8. It says that as the two of them, father and son, went up the mountain, Isaac says to his dad, hey, we got the fire and the wood here. Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham says to his son, God himself will provide the lamb. He knew it before he would see it. Do I got that faith? To tell my son, don't worry, God's going to provide. And he has. For all of us, a ram in the thicket, a savior on a cross, and every other need that we have, whatever he asks us to do, he's going to supply it. Do we believe it? That he is Jehovah Jireh. He has provision over my life. Will I lay everything on the altar of my Lord, trusting him with all that I am and everything that I hold dear, knowing he's got a plan in this. He's got me and he's good. He's my future. The Lord will provide. Which leads to the final point today on the name Jehovah Jireh, and that is the reward that we get for trusting God like this. It's a life eternal with God, bringing contentment and true peace. When all on the altar we lay, when you do that, you begin to live by faith and you begin to see you got nothing to worry about. Nothing. He's given you his son. He provides for you every day, your daily bread. Every day he's watching over you and you can trust him with everything, all you hold dear. In prayer, laying this need before him and this situation down and trusting him even now when he asks you to do something really scary or letting go, you can do it by faith. And when you do, when you begin to live like that, the result, the fruit of that in your life is contentment and a true and a lasting peace. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether hungry or well-fed, living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Later on in that chapter, Paul says, I know our God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ. And so he says in Philippians 4:4, so rejoice in the Lord always. Praise him today. For the Lord is near, he says. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, present your requests to God with thankfulness in your heart, he says. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul, he writes this letter while he's sitting in prison, even after a time when God's people had kind of forgotten him and not coming through very well. Yet in his circumstances, he sees God has put him in that jail cell for a reason and working out a plan. And he sees the Lord is there with him, too. And so he's got everything that he needs. And he's learning more. He's growing in Christ, and the others around him are coming to salvation. He is content. Where he is, he's got true peace in his heart because he knows who he is and who God is and all he has in Christ and who holds the future and it is everything. In Christ, he has everything that he really needs. I've thought about these verses and this story of Abraham this week, and I've thought, what do I need to lay down on that altar? What is God asking me to let go of? Maybe some worries and some fears for starters. Maybe some of the stuff that I want that I don't really need. Maybe my ego and sense of being good enough. Maybe my own pride and being able to think I can always figure it out. Or my need for affirmation or glory. Or maybe it's this church. Or my kids who I love so much? Can I trust them fully over with God, knowing he's got them, and he's got them in his plans, and he loves them even more than me? Maybe it's money and security, or just trusting that tomorrow God is going to be there as he was today. Of course he will. But what is it? What is it for you? What is the hardest thing for you to lay on that altar and to trust God with, knowing that he will provide, that he'll make a way, that he is God alone and he needs to be number one? And when he is, when I trust him most of all and obey him no matter what, then I'm able to see just how amazing and wonderful and awesome he is. And how I really didn't have anything to worry about at all. For he is Jehovah Jireh, always has been and will be my provision. He made me, he knows me, and not just what I need today, but tomorrow and forever. And he's already on it. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.